It'll be a new season, new set of challenges.
I was just massively impressed with what they're trying to do up here, the vision that they've got and how they want to drive forward.
I think given this opportunity, you take the risk or you lose the chance.
I think you can really, really tell how much the crowd are on our side, how much they're rooting for us.
It's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Kelsey Dragons and the Welsh national team.
It's hard to walk away from something like this that you've worked really hard on.
Hello and welcome to the Netball Show with Viper 10. Right, so a lot of players suffer from injury. It's part and parcel of sport. We, both me and Nat, have suffered from injuries from netball and other sports. We thought we'd do a little bit of a chat about injury, about how to cope with it, about how common it is and things like that. So Nat, you're kind of out at the moment. So do you want to tell everyone what you did and how you did it?
Yes, it's kind of my favourite topic of the moment. It's kind of all I can talk about. So I have dislocated my shoulder a number of times. This is the fourth time I've done it now. Every time I've done it playing, and it's the worst thing ever. And now I've got to wait for surgery this time, because every other time I've kind of rehabbed it back to a kind of decent place and manage to just carry on playing with the kind of fear that I might, probably will do it again. But this time the doctors have said, stop playing, you have to have the surgery or you won't play again. So that was quite hard to swallow. And I haven't been out of the game for this length of time before. And it's really rubbish, like it really sucks. I'm missing it hugely. And there's just nothing out there that replicates netball. I'm out, I'm doing my fitness, I'm doing cardio, I'm doing classes, I'm doing stupid spinning classes and all that stuff, but nothing can replicate the feeling you get from netball. I don't know if you've had a similar experience, but I'm just really struggling with being on the sidelines. How have you coped in the past?
Yeah, no, it is really, really tough. I don't know, it's hard to say. The worst injury I've had was I just always have problems with my ankles. So I tore the ligament in my ankle, and then, the thing is, I was at uni at the time, and then I went to see the physio there, and she was just horrendous, and she was like, you'll be back in a week. And I was like, off for like 3 months, which isn't as long as you're probably going to be off once you have surgery and everything like that. But it was so awful, and I got so miserable, because I love playing, and it's and I've become to realize as I've got older that sport is like something that I have to do. I have to exercise to like maintain my balance and my happiness and all of that, and to not be able to do much is just horrendous. So
definitely,
so it is really really hard. But what have you been doing to kind of cope and to, you know, keep active, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I've been doing loads and loads of fitness where I can, but I think, like you say, like, it's, you have to, for me as well, I have to play sport and to keep my kind of balance in life and to keep my sanity and my happiness and my positivity. So that is something that I'm struggling with, finding that elsewhere, because for me, it's not just exercise that gives me that. It's very specifically netball, which is, you know, difficult when you can't play that, when you can't get that kind of buzz, when you really kind of depend on it. So that is a struggle. But for me, the key thing has been keeping in contact with my team, keeping part of the system. And I'm realizing that I don't actually have to be on court to still reap some of the benefits of being part of a team. I'm going back to training, I'm doing what I can. Me and my coach have come up with this special plan so that I can still run around and do some stuff without damaging my shoulder. I probably shouldn't be saying this because my physio will probably call me and yell at me, but basically I've been using like a special little tennis ball that I keep in my dodgy hand that's connected to my bad arm, which means I can't go for balls with that arm. So I'm just running around playing one-armed. I'm being horrendously ineffective as a defender, but at least it's giving me some of my sanity back, and I get to run around with my team and take part in some of the training. So I honestly think that keeping connected is the crucial part of it. If you're going to be out for a significant amount of time, you can't sit around for 6 months and lose contact with your team. They're not just your teammates, they're your friends, and they are your support network, and they're there for you when you know when you're feeling low. We've got a couple of players out with injury at the moment, and we have WhatsApp groups, we have email chains, sometimes too many emails, but you know, it's all good. And I think that's a really useful resource for when you're injured, and I think that players should really make the most of that and make the most of your teammates and lean on them because they are there for you. Most of them have been there themselves and know what it feels like.
Definitely, you're so right with that. And it's interesting that you say that you can still reap the rewards of playing without actually playing, you know, just by going along, supporting and all of that, which is so, so good. Obviously, there's been a lot of international players who have been badly injured as well. Like ACL injuries are so common in netball and people are normally out for about 9 months with that. So an entire season, effectively. So Sasha Corbin, she was out with an ACL, but she didn't just do her ACL. She did her ACL and then her meniscus, and she like tore basically everything in her knee. So that was really bad. But I thought what she did really well was she did the solo sessions rehab season. So solo sessions is other fitness videos that she makes to encourage and inspire people to train while they're not actually at netball training, to do their own kind of stuff to build on their skills. So originally when she got injured, she was like, oh, how am I going to be able to do a solo sessions? And then once she sort of was able to do a little bit more, I mean, the things that we started off with was literally her sitting and then just like flexing her knee, like pushing it to the floor, like very basic stuff, but literally she had a plethora of stuff from how she went from very beginning of just after surgery to actually playing internationally again. And I think for her that was really good because she loves doing the solo session. She was still active and putting something out there, and she was like sharing her, you know, her story, I suppose, which not everyone would want to do, but that's quite an interesting way that she dealt with being injured, really.
Definitely. I was following her recovery journey through those solo sessions videos, and I thought it was just so inspiring as well to see, because it's not often that you see international players kind of sharing these kind of stories. I feel like we hear that so-and-so is injured or so-and-so is out of the game, but we don't hear much from them until they're back to full fitness. So I think that can be sometimes a bit demoralizing for players at grassroots level or lower down in the leagues when you're injured and you kind of don't have that frame of reference of someone else who's been through it and overcome it and got back, because it can feel just like an endless void of injury and not playing, and you do worry that you're not gonna, one, get back at all, or two, get back to your best. And to see Sasha go from, you know, I went to meet her and she was on crutches and she could literally barely walk for like 5 feet to where I was meeting her, to being back playing internationally, and to, you know, to kind of map her journey through the way she was sharing it on Facebook and with these videos, I think that was, you know, really encouraging. And I think it's something that more players should really talk about and just to offer kind of coping mechanisms, because as well as the impact on your game and your fitness, it also, injuries just affect your life generally. And I think people forget that sometimes. It's not that they're out of just the game. Sometimes, well, you're out of work for weeks if you have surgery, you're out of socializing, you're a bit cut off, you're isolated, and it can make people really, really low. So I think it is really important to kind of talk about that, the psychological aspects that injury can have on your whole life and not just the game. What do you think about that? How do you think people can improve that kind of psychological aspect?
Yeah, I think you're right about internationals and players that people look up to sharing that more, because as you said, it is sort of brushed under the carpet. But I think it's really important to recognise that it's difficult for every single person who goes through an injury, no matter how good or how average you are. Do you know what I mean? Like, it, no matter how often you play, like it's hard and it does affect you. And yeah, I think maybe probably there should be more out there on how to deal with it. But also, I was speaking to Sophia Candapa recently. She also did her ACL in, and she was out. She literally had just joined Wasps, was ready to play the season. I think it was in a pre-season game that she tore it, so she hadn't even been able to play like the first match of the actual Super League season before she got injured, which is just so incredibly unlucky. And then yeah, when I saw her recently, she was just delighted with herself that she was back and, you know, ready and raring to go. And I think she also sort of documented how she was doing, and she started up an Instagram account about ACL recovery, which is really good, and it is good to see that more people are talking about it now. But yeah, I think it's very difficult to remain positive when you are injured, but as you said, to surround yourself with your teammates and things like that, that's the way to do it, really.
Most definitely. If you've got supportive teammates around you, a supportive coach, just literally use them for everything they've got. Text them, keep involved, go to training, even if you're sitting on the sidelines. Just turn up to matches at the weekends, to be their scorer. I'm the new team scorer for the rest of the season, which I'm very happy with, because otherwise what on earth am I going to do with my Saturday mornings? Like, I feel very lost, so I'm obviously going to turn up even if I'm not playing, so definitely do that. And yeah, keep connected.
That's great advice there, Nat. Well done, us.
I think the first thing that stands out for me about wearing Viper 10 kit is just the feel of it. It's so comfortable. Since the brand's come around, I think I've still got the same hoodie from about 5 years ago, and it fits so well. The colour remains, and I think that's one of the most important things, particularly with sportswear brands nowadays. You're wearing them day in, day out. People love living in their active wear, and the fact that this active wear looks good, it feels good, it's just great to wear.
Sasha.
Hey!
How are you doing?
I'm all good.
So, you've had a few injuries over the years.
Oh.
Inevitable.
Yes, I have. I really have.
What are we going to talk about today? I think we should talk about maybe your most recent significant injury that took you out of the game for a while. Can you talk me through what happened?
Yes, I can. So, I had done my ACL and partially torn my LCL, which was a ligament in there as well. Meniscus and cartilage damage all happening in that knee.
That's a lot of things for one knee. Ouch.
Yeah, it was bad.
How did you do it? What happened?
Yeah, funnily enough, I wish someone hit me, but it was not that. I did this move. I've done this move thousands of times. Taking a ball over my head to land on the circle edge. And the second foot that came down, so not my landing foot, the second one that come down had just kind of lost all control. Mm. So I heard crack, pop, scrape, and it all was happening in slow motion as my knee went to the right, to the left, back to the right, and then I just dropped on the floor. And anyone that was in that arena at the time, I was playing for Loughborough, and I was playing against Mavericks, now my team. I was howling. It was weird. It wasn't even a scream. It was just a howl.
Wow.
And I remember my sister coming, like, she was there, she was watching the game, and she ran down the stairs, and, you know, Gary was the umpire, and she just did not care that she wasn't really a part of the team at that time, but she ran on the court, and she's just holding me as I'm, like, in agony. Mm. And I think you're not allowed to have anyone else come onto the court, but I think Gary just saw, he was just so kind of heartfelt for us at that point that he just said, you know what, you guys, like, let you have that moment,
you do your thing.
That was tough.
That is what sisters are for.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if anyone came on at that time, I would have taken anything, but for it to be her as well was it was needed. Very close to home,
definitely. So how long did that injury take you out for?
It was very long. Okay, so because it happened at the beginning of the season, I had a bit of time. So originally it was looking at 9 months to get back. And then it actually ended up being, in the end, 14 months.
Wow.
Before my first game, yeah. So then I'd picked up a contract with Northern Mystics in New Zealand, and it was, I had actually got to a good point where I got to about a year, and I was feeling good and my leg was doing all right. But then I think I might have gone into training from having that long flight really quickly. So my second session in, I had actually done some more damage. My knee wasn't ready and it kind of swelled up.
Mm.
So I actually missed 8 weeks of pre-season.
Oh.
So all I was trying to do was get back for the actual season, which was really frustrating. New team, you want to get to know everyone.
Yeah.
There was just no time. So that was extremely frustrating. That part there was very hard because of how hard it worked just to get to that point. But yeah, my first game was the first match of the season.
Wow.
At the ANZ Premiership level, so.
Yeah. Okay, so that's, no pressure. Just
no pressure.
Just go back out, test the knee.
You know what I mean? Just see how it goes.
Just on this big stage, that's fine. How scary was it for you to come back onto court after all that time off? Like, what was going through your head when that whistle went?
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? I remember that. I was ultra nervous. Mm. But at the same time, I was like, look how far you've come, Sasha. Like, you've been through so much. This is me talking to myself.
Yeah.
It's just time to just enjoy the game that you love and you've missed for so long. You've trained, you're stronger, you've done all the tests, the hamstrings are working, your knee's stable. Just play. And that's kind of how I went into it. And then as soon as that whistle went, I was like, in. I was in the zone, focused. I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
And it was so nice to just have... I mean, I only got a few minutes in that first game, but I was very pleased and proud that I managed to get through that and actually unscathed, no pain and no sweating.
So, definitely. Yeah. Sometimes you've just got to trust your body and trust that you've done enough work.
Yeah, for sure.
So...
a lot of it is about trust.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that was obviously the big comeback. So let's rewind to exactly when it first happened.
Okay.
What were the first few weeks like? How did you cope? How did you not lose your mind? Because obviously injuries suck.
They do.
Especially when netball is your life. What were your coping mechanisms?
Okay, so initially I knew straight away that I'd done something horrendous. Mm. So, of course, you're just distraught. I think the hardest thing was just knowing what it was. Yeah. So, of course, you have done something, you know it's bad. The walking's hard and all the emotion to go with it. So that was just terrible. The first week was not good. Yeah. You're just thinking, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Is it over? You know, a lot of stuff. So when you find out, when I found out what it was, and Dr. Andy Williams, very, very, yes, okay, you've done a nasty thing in there. Yes, your knee is angry, Sasha. He's telling me this. He's like, but we can fix this. It will take a year, just under a year, but... we can fix it. So at that point you get this kind of okay, it's good. we can sort this even though it's really bad. That was a high part in the low part, if you know what I mean. And then I guess the knee from that point is just about being comfortable. You can't walk, there's a lot of things you can't do. You're reliant on everyone. It's just a complete lifestyle change, from showering to going to the toilet to going to bed and being comfortable. It's not what you want.
No.
And you don't wish it on anybody.
It makes everything harder.
It does.
Because I think with sports people, a lot of the time you hear they're injured, it means they've got this many games out, they've got this many weeks out of the game, but you don't often think about what that means for their life.
For their life,
This person can't walk, this person can't get to their job, they can't, they can't get up the stairs. It's so much more than just in that sports hall and just on the court. Like, it impacts your life on such a bigger scale, which I think sports fans and people who are following you as an athlete maybe don't appreciate.
Yeah.
Is that something that
But that's found? Why I love it when, like, let's say someone gets in touch with me on like Instagram or Twitter or whatever, or if I see something and I'm like, oh, I so know what you're going through, I have to message them because I know what it feels like. And no one can really ever tell you, especially after your surgery, how so you already felt pain, you felt that initial pain, and then you after surgery, no one can really ever tell you about that pain because you just feel so helpless.
Yeah.
And it's excruciating, you trying to find comfortable positions. No one tells you about that. and it's hard. But I think the feelings that you feel when you're so sad and you're not sure about what you're going to do next or just what you're going to do in that day, apart from take your medication because you have to look after yourself. You just need that kind of uplift. And I feel like sometimes because I've been through it and I know what other people are going through or have been through, I can relate to it and be able to give them some advice through it.
Definitely. So you had lovely people messaging you on Instagram. I'm sure you got Twitter messages, that kind of thing. How important is that support network from obviously your teammates, your family, but also like your fans and the people who support you in the netball world?
Just even receiving it, it's so warm. It makes you feel loved for all of however many weeks. You can look back at it and, people just encouraging you to keep your head up and stay strong. You'll come back stronger. You've got all of these messages, and it's great to see, especially when you're at probably the lowest.
So they
are huge, massive. You need that support network, even just from your family and friends, but to have it from a wider community was definitely special. Like, that was crazy.
That's so nice that you've got that, like, the netball family.
It really is a netball family. They really want you to just come through the other side, I think, and I definitely felt that. I mean, I got some gifts from, like, people sending gifts to the house, and it just felt nice. I think I got, like, lots of Maltesers.
Like, you know, you will get sacked over this time, but it doesn't matter because you're gonna burn it off when you get fit.
That is what I would do, if I, like, recovering from surgery. That is the dream, really. Maltese delivery.
That's
ideal.
Balloons and
cool. So sweet. So, like, I find the worst part about being injured is how much is out of your control. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's really happened to you.
Yeah.
You can't really do much. Your hands is in the fate of the doctors and the rehab, and sometimes your body just takes as long as it's going to take, and you can't accelerate that, and that's really difficult.
This is the truth.
But there are certain things that you can control. For example, like, your mindset and, you know, how you choose to react to it. And
for sure.
So what are the things you found that you could control?
Yeah. So first and foremost, I guess in the earlier stages, because that's, you're not really able to do as much, was to just be around people that just love you and want you to be okay in that, well, in the state that you are.
Yeah.
So I was always around people. I allowed people to do things for me because it made me feel good.
Yeah.
I watched series upon boxes, sets and stuff. So that kept me sane a little bit and took my mind off of what I was going through at times. I had a schedule of what I was going to do and when. And so that was kind of like the earlier stages, when you can't really do as much and you're probably not really wanting to concentrate too much because sometimes the pain and stuff like that. So you kind of just want to immerse yourself into something that you can just watch.
Something easy. Switch your brain off.
Basically. Yeah. And that, so that was me. So Scandal was huge for me.
Scandal was the one.
I started from number one, season one, and just went through the whole thing. So yeah, that was huge. But then, yeah, after, towards, like, kind of the middle, that was probably more, you know, okay, what can I do in the gym? Because you got one leg, but it doesn't matter. What can you do to keep yourself physically active in other areas? And so I had a really good SNC coach at the time, Ed Baker. He was huge in this. Gave me some fun things to do. I did some boxing. I actually got caught quite a bit of it on, like, solo sessions on the videos. So and that was something I wanted to share with people, just to show them that actually it don't matter. I mean, yeah, it matters you don't have a leg right now, but you can still work on other things to stay, to keep the adrenaline going, to give you that kind of hit of, like, fitness.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And so I was like, okay, this day and this day. So I scheduled that. I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
When, if someone could come with me, because obviously I need to take Uber everywhere and stuff like that. Life change.
Yeah.
So there was, like, quite a good kind of set thing of when to go physio, when to do SNC, what things to do at home, if I wanted to accomplish something outside of the game. So I don't know, if I wanted to read a book or just have those things there, and then all of a sudden the days were going quicker.
Yeah. So it's about having a schedule, having a plan, having things that you can tick off that you're achieving, for even if they're little things.
Little things, but it's huge in that moment.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously injured also at the moment, and it sucks.
Oh.
So
what have you...
I found that netball FOMO is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, I have massive fear of missing out. How did you deal with that, and how did you keep connected, like, with your netball world? Like, I'm not about to not see my netball friends. I'm not going to not go see my coach. Like, I need to be involved. But how do you do that?
Okay, so for me, I was able to... I did step away for a bit. Yeah. So that was for me, because I just wanted... I needed to get my mind right.
Sure.
Get to grips with what was happening.
Yeah.
So I did take a step away. But then when I was able to kind of be reintroduced, for me, it wasn't like
during season as such.
Yeah.
But I remember going to a couple of Loughborough matches on my crutches and having like the game ready, which is an ice machine with me,
yeah,
and my big old brace. And so I just wanted to be around it. So for me, cheering the team on at that point was a way of me just showing my support.
Yeah.
And yeah, kind of you just like, you're like, oh damn, I really want to be on the court. I really want to be playing, but obviously right now,
yeah,
you are not helpful. So yeah, so I just kind of wanted to show my support. If at any point, like quarter times, half times, anything that I saw, I wanted to get involved. So if I was able to talk to some of my teammates at that time, if I found like they were doing something great, keep doing it. I wanted to kind of be a coach and
yeah,
help where I could when I was obviously allowed to give my input. So that was quite huge. And then kind of just staying in groups, making sure that I'm kind of in the loop,
yeah,
that was quite important.
Yeah.
But then sometimes when I'm ready and I need that time, I would take a step away as well.
Yeah, definitely, because
mm-hmm,
you do need time to regroup, and you know, it can be difficult to be on the sidelines when you're not playing.
This
and
is it.
Sometimes you do need to, you know, recognize when you need to take a break.
Yeah,
and it can be the best thing.
But the most important part of that was I was very accepting that this is what has happened to me.
Yeah,
I think the first thing that you think when it happens is, why has this happened to me? Why me?
Mm.
Why? Like, you kind of get into this whole thing of, you know, maybe it's not as bad as it is, or
yeah,
you know, you kind of do that, and it's like, you know, I just, it doesn't matter. But actually, I knew, you know, once I saw the surgeon,
yeah,
I knew that this was huge.
Yeah.
And so I had to get to grips that, okay, this is what it is.
Yeah.
But now, what can I do in this moment to,
yeah,
keep happy, be positive, and have a plan moving forward? And that's all that matters at that point, because
yeah,
nothing beforehand actually matters now.
Yeah.
So it was really huge to, yeah, to just accept that this,
yeah,
is the place that I'm in. And now, how can I best help my team, myself? And yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like step one is to like face it head,
yeah,
on, and
do,
be like, this is actually what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it. You've kind of just got to go through it.
Yeah.
As rubbish as it's going
to
be.
Yeah, and then the second thing for me would be not to rush.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you're like, oh, I can walk now, so that means I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you kind of get to a point where walking, well, for me, I wasn't allowed to put my foot down for 8 weeks. So a lot of the muscle wastage had gone from my thighs, from my calves. Of course, no stability really in my knee. So
yeah,
everything had to get ultra strong.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing was to just be on one crutch and then no crutches.
Mm.
And then we still had the brace. And it was just quite a long process. And for me, all of those things were ticks.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really weird, but every step of every little thing, whether I could just wiggle my toe, that was now something I can do.
Yeah.
I can now lift my leg. It was just all these little things that,
yeah,
were just able to just tick to say, okay, now I'm moving forward.
Yeah.
Physio, what's next?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To give yourself that.
Definitely.
That,
yeah, yeah,
kind of excitement to keep going.
Definitely. You need those kind of motivational things, don't,
mm-hmm,
you? So have you ever had a moment where, you know, you're on court and you feel a twinge and you, do you get that fear?
Today?
Yeah.
As in like now or, no.
No, you don't know.
Where I'm at now,
okay,
I'm with the rehab that I did.
Yeah.
With just, I guess, yeah, just everything that included, so the sprinting, the change of direction, stopping sharply, changing,
yeah,
just all of those things were so embedded in my rehab that now it's not even a thing.
Okay.
I don't think about it. Of course, at the start,
yeah,
so kind of the time when you were starting to be allowed to do those things,
yeah,
that was fearful. I,
yeah,
was fearful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, so the, if you said hop, I do like the smallest little, was that even a hop? But it was just because you're testing, and as you're,
yeah,
and I'm a bit older as well, so you're aware of what you've,
mm,
done. You're not as fearless as you was,
yeah,
when you was younger. So you do things a little bit slower.
Tentative,
that's,
yeah,
the word.
It's, yeah, I found that, and because injuries are like, it's traumatic. You,
it's,
don't forget,
huge,
that.
Yeah,
the pain of it and the trauma, it's like, it's exhausting and it's draining and it's terrifying. I remember,
yeah,
when I did my shoulder, I was like dreaming about shoulders for like months,
yeah,
and like, you just,
it does that,
it doesn't, it plays in your mind. And I think it's really important to be able to get to a point where you can go on court and not be scared.
Yes.
Like, you don't want to be pulling yourself back from things that you would normally do out of fear. And I think,
yeah,
that's quite a hard place
however
to get to.
I hear what you're saying, but I guess that comes with the more you've done in your rehab and the more you've done those movements, the more confident you become.
Yeah.
So there's that, there's always within all of this stuff, there's a slow kind of process. So at first it's all non-contact. Then you might have a shadowing attacker or defender on you.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you're slowly gaining confidence. Mm-hmm. And now we're allowed to put a 50% pressure on you. And now 80, and now we're going full blown. Yeah. And at that point, you should be mentally ready for it because you've done maybe weeks or days consecutive of that type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a process. It's not like, okay, you're you know, you're ready to go now, because you have to be a bit,
it's got to be kind of incremental, a little bit at a time,
and for sure,
to build that, get rid of that fear basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there'll be thousands of netballers across the country struggling with injuries, out on the sidelines.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give to them? How do they make it through? How do they keep positive?
Yeah, I think just kind of the things we touched on before, to have those goals that you have for yourself, goals for your rehab. Because sometimes, like, it is frustrating even just having, like, you've rolled your ankle, but it's just a small sprain, but it's affecting your game. So right now, you just need to take that time. I think it's really important for you to just think about the long term of your injury. The long term of your life. So you don't want to keep damaging it. You can play on it, but actually, if it hurts, it's not doing you any good.
Yeah.
So just wait for it to heal, get it better, do the rehab exercises that you've been told to do, and then you'll be better off for it. And I think sometimes we get to a point where, at the start of the season, you've really hurt your ankle, but you're like, no, but if I just strap it up really tightly, and then I can, but why put yourself through that if you want to play the game for long? So my thing is, whatever type of injury it is, just stick to the process so that you're good to go in the future and longer term, for years on years, not just that season. Because if you continue to do something, you're going to damage it even more and you'll put yourself in a worse position.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's like the worst thing that you could do to yourself.
Definitely. It's a long game,
isn't
it? And it's not even just about the game. You don't want to be 40 and not be able to move because you didn't look after yourself.
This is
a netballing injury.
Yeah.
Well, that is some really solid advice there. I'm literally over here taking notes for my own injury.
Yeah, you're going to need to, because if you have to have surgery, then I know you're going to be able to smash it.
Yeah, yes. That is the plan. Okay, I'm way more positive now.
Yay!
Amazing.
It'll be a new season, new set of challenges.
I was just massively impressed with what they're trying to do up here, the vision that they've got and how they want to drive forward. I've been given this opportunity. You take the risk or you lose the chance.
I think you can really, really tell how much the crowd are on our side, how much they're rooting for us.
It's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Kelsey Dragons and the Welsh national team.
It's hard to walk away from something like this that you've worked really hard on.